Welcome back to today's episode of Lean and Mean, presented by Comfort Dental. We've got Dr. Rick Kushner here with us, as always, and I'm your host, Judy. Dr. Kushner, take it away.
Of course. Thanks again, Judy. And as we dissect some of these agreements, let's all try to remember that this is done for the good of the partnership. All of these items are for the good of the partnership, and then ultimately the good of the patients and the patient's care. It's pretty dry stuff, but there's an umbrella over all of this that is so critical. Fairness.
Well said.
And good stuff for the partnership. Thank you, Judy. Let's shift gears a little bit. We may want to require 2 signatures on large checks and the rights to engage in other business. No partner shall directly or indirectly engage in any other practice of dentistry without the consent of the other partner, but we won't prevent a partner from investing in, you know, securities, bonds, commodities, or other forms of investment. I'm offering an opportunity that requires a full-time commitment. This is a full-time career with a full-time commitment. And I will insist that that clause remain. If I've offered an opportunity that requires you to go out and moonlight somewhere else, then I haven't offered the opportunity that I promised you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And I'm guessing there's more?
Yeah, there's more. Let's talk about the buy-sell agreement. The purpose of this agreement is to provide for the sale by a partner during his or her lifetime or by a deceased partner's estate of his or her interest in the partnership for the purchase of such interest by the continuing or surviving partners at a price fairly established and to provide all or part of the funds for the purchase. This is written as a 50-50 as a 2-person partnership, but of course, that would change to the appropriate percentages as the partnership grows.
Fairness. Fair, and more fair.
Sure. Let's look at agreement to buy and sell on death. A little depressing. Upon the death of a partner, his estate shall sell and the surviving partner or partner shall purchase the entire interest in the partnership for a price determined by operation of Section 2 of this article, and that happens to be the death value. Each surviving partner shall purchase that portion of the deceased partner's interest which bears the same ratio to such interest as the interest already owned by the purchaser bears to the combined interests of all the partners, excluding the interest of the deceased partner. Isn't that fascinating? What that says is if Doctors A, B, and C are in partnership and Dr. C dies, Doctors A and B will each buy half of Dr. C's partnership. Purchase price for a deceased partner's partnership interest shall be an amount equal to the aggregate collections actually received by the partnership for 12 months, the death value.
God forbid.
Taking a deep breath. Upon the death of a partner, each surviving partner shall promptly file a claim to collect in cash the one sum death proceeds of all policies. You know, we buy the cheapest, of course, the cheapest form of term life insurance, the cheapest policy that will actually pay if somebody dies to cover the size of the largest partner's partnership. If we have a $300,000 death value, a $250,000 and a $200,000, we buy three $300,000 term policies so that the surviving partners can purchase from these. The last part of page 3 says that we will do to pay, says what we will do, excuse me, to pay this estate off in the terms and conditions if we don't have enough insurance to cover this possibility. My point is, have enough insurance. It's relatively cheap. Certainly why people are young or up through middle age. How will you pay for this term life insurance? It says the practice will pay in the agreement. You're shifting gears. Should this come off the top or the bottom? If it's not deductible, should it come out of our pockets? Requires some thought. See, we all have to be, my situations, we all happen to be relatively the same age, and we approached each 25% of the practice. So it was really pretty fair and quite simple to just pay it off the top.
That seems, once again, fair and simple. Thank you so much for touching on that. I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, but it sure is important. Although, we're sure hoping it's something we'll never have to deal with.
Yes, and unfortunately, we have and we will, but let's talk about disability. In the event a partner is totally disabled for a continuous period of X years, what you guys decide, the partner shall sell his, her interest in the partnership, and the other partners will purchase at a price equal, and we've put in 80% of death value. We've lowered the value because we believe this to be a considerable hardship, much more so than even an immediate death financially on the remaining partners. Retirement. Several possibilities for selling. That's what this section is about. Nobody's passed away, nobody's disabled, but somebody either wants to retire or sell out.
Interesting. And can we touch on retirement? I know that's probably everyone's next question.
Yes, we can, and it is a common question, of course. So thanks for prompting me. There are several possibilities for selling. That's what this section is about. Nobody's passed away and nobody's disabled, but somebody wants to either retire or sell out. At any time a partner desires to leave the practice of dentistry in this city, they'll offer in writing to sell their interest in the partnership to the other remaining partners who have the right to do this, and we're using 30 days after the mailing of a notice to them for a price equal to the death value. Now, we do not have a forced buyout in these agreements. An individual cannot force the remaining partners to buy him out. If they choose to, the price is established right here and right now. But they can reject that. If you wish a forced buyout, then follow me here. I think death value is too high. Wouldn't you agree? It should be lower. Maybe you'll allow the individual to force the remaining buyers to buy the individual out. If so, I think a considerably lower amount would be appropriate. On the other hand, if it works in the other direction, if the remaining partners wish to force an individual out, again, none of this is in our agreements, but if that were the case, then I think a higher price should be established. The terms and conditions are listed, then ultimately we might offer what would be called a first right of refusal. If an individual wants to retire, the price is established for the remaining partners to buy him or her out at death value, and then the terms and conditions are listed in this part of the agreement. If they refuse, the person may test the market, and they will then have the right to accept those same terms and conditions. To me, this is pretty common, first right of refusal. I'm partner A, I want to retire. I've asked my partners to buy me out at death value. They said, no, we don't want to. You go find your own buyer. I went out and found a buyer, and I found a buyer in the name of A Prime. Let's say they hate that person. That's fine. I respect that. However, the contract says you must match, the same terms and conditions that I found in the outside marketplace. And they would be required to do that. Then they could turn around and sell it to someone more to their liking. That's the way these agreements exist for decades.
Again, these are instances we hope we never have to come face to face with, but it's important to be prepared for them if and or when they unfortunately arise.
Yes, that's correct. And they have arisen with, 500 partners over decades and decades. These types of things, they do happen occasionally. And here's an uncommon one. since you brought it up. Joint party. If the partners mutually agree on all their interest in the partnership to a third party or a consortium of third parties, this means that all, we'll say three of us in the partnership, and we're all leaving at the same time. Very, very rare in my experience. We found either one or a group of other individuals to buy us out. How do we split it? Well, you should know the answer to this one. We're going to split it based on our percentages of collections for the previous 12 months. Again, pretty uncommon, but it's provided for.
12 months and just the previous 12 months?
Yeah, there would be a decent argument that it should go back 24 or maybe 36 months. But no, we left it at 12 months. If one partner wants to retire, the other partners can buy him or her out if they choose at death value. If they refuse, the assets of the partnership shall be terminated. This is a different one. The partnership shall be terminated and liquidated. These assets will be dispersed. It says so in the agreement.
That doesn't sound ideal.
You're correct. Everyone would lose under those circumstances. Before that would happen, the seller wanting to retire or wanting out would test the marketplace as described in previous paragraphs. If the partners mutually agree in writing to sell less than all their interest in the partnership to a third party, the price will be for the terms as the partners and the said buyer shall agree upon. They must unanimously agree.
Have we mentioned fairness?
Boy, I hope we're adhering to that. Again, that's the buy-in split. Percentage of the last 12 months' collections, which you questioned a few moments ago. If it was 60-40, then those doctors A and B will split that buy-in 60-40. As we talked about long ago, if the partners sell unequal portions of their partnership interests, then the partners shall divide the net proceeds in proportion to the size of the partnership interest in which each is selling. The final thing I'd like to point out is a non-compete clause. And I'm now told that the pendulum has swung and non-compete over the years, and non-compete clauses are being upheld in court if they are termed reasonable. Now, we looked into this, and reasonable is meaning what time and what distance. I'm told that 3 to 5 years and 5 to 10 miles. 3 to 5 years and 5 to 10 miles are now being deemed reasonable. Consulting agreement. Buy-in between doctors A and B in the agreement. The date and the names are listed. The agreement refers to a possible financing situation that I've mentioned. You may recall that I would not violate the 25% down payment rule on a purchase of a partnership, but I may wish to carry. I'll give you a couple of detailed techniques to do that. One of the terrific benefits for the buyer now, this is definitely a buyer advantage, is that if it's carried in a consulting agreement, he or she pays it back in pre-tax dollars. We went through all that. Go back and re-listen. Under the recitals here, the parties have verbally agreed to the terms and conditions, and it's in their agreement. Dr. B desires the expert practice management consulting services of Dr. A for an X month period of time.
And how much time are we talking here?
Maybe 60 months, 5 years, maybe 10 years. Dr. A desires to provide these same services to Dr. B for the same period of time on such and such a date and on the same day of each succeeding month for X months. Dr. B shall pay Dr. A approximately X dollars. Dr. A will provide consulting services to B for the same X months. That amount can vary approximately 20-25% either direction based on the hours of consultation provided. Now, I would have an agreement like this signed and notarized, in case the IRS were ever, but it hasn't happened. But in any case, they were ever to challenge whether or not this should be paid in pre-tax dollars. To my knowledge, we have never had this issue brought to our attention. It has worked. I'm without question providing practice management services to my partners. Up to this moment, I am. This monthly fee shall be due and payable on the same day each month and considered in default if not paid by this date or a later day in the same month.
As it should. If I've learned anything during our time together, Dr. Kushner, and I have, it's that you know what you're talking about.
Well, I'll laugh at that. If you add up all the years of a career, there were moments where I knew what I was talking about. If in a default, Dr. B shall have X months to bring the payments current, or at the end of the X month period, if Dr. B is not current, Dr. B shall forfeit any equity position to the practice. In such an event, his practice, her practice of dentistry is terminated. Furthermore, the non-compete clause would take effect. Terminated at this location, of course. In the buy-sell agreement, the non-compete clause buy-sell agreement shall be in effect. Dr. A would take complete legal possession and ownership of Dr. B's partnership. Finally, this agreement is non-cancelable and will pass to Dr. B's successor or successors. We might call this an addendum to the consulting agreement of Drs. B and A. Now, you're going to have to put some of this together yourself because this basically becomes a clarification agreement of the consulting agreement, and the dates are listed and the parties have agreed, and it is their agreement.
Dr. K, let's go more into that addendum.
Sure. Number one, recital. Again, going back to Dr. B and Dr. A, they agree that the consulting agreement is structured as though Dr. B is borrowing X dollars from Dr. A and as though Dr. B is repaying Dr. A the same X dollars via an amortized loan at market interest rates. Dr. B's monthly consulting fee to Dr. A would be an amount equal to a monthly principal and interest loan payment on a loan of X dollars. The term is X months and the interest rate is X percent. We talked about the 20 to 25% variance in amount, certainly negotiable, referred to, and recital to the consulting agreement is to allow for fluctuations in interest rate reviewed quarterly and particularly figured at the bank's prime commercial lending rate, plus a point. That's certainly negotiable. Dr. B may terminate his consulting fee obligation to Dr. A at any time by paying to Dr. A, simple enough, even I get this, an amount equal to the outstanding principal on the obligation. The amount equal to the outstanding principal shall be made available to Dr. A at any time. To Dr. B, that would be at any time upon his request. To me, it would be silly to pay this thing off early because, again, it's being paid back in pre-tax dollars. And as an interjection, a tremendous advantage to the buyer in these agreements, in these deals. If Dr. B sells the partnership prior to the completion of the consulting agreement, the balance due at the time of said sale is payable immediately to Dr. A on that date of said sale. And finally, refers to if this happens during a trial period situation. If the trial period is terminated prior to commencement of the partnership, said several times previously, prior to X date, Dr. A shall return to Dr. B the deposit, X dollar deposit, plus any principal portion of the consulting agreement payments which have already been made by Dr. B to Dr. A. Dr. A would retain any interest on the X dollar deposit, as well as the interest portion of any consulting agreement payments which have been made to Dr. A by Dr. B. Can't be said any better, even though we've said it several times. These agreements are relatively simple, but they'll require some thought to understand exactly what we're trying to accomplish. I am confident that they'll give you a good foundation if you wish to pursue this line of thinking and reasoning in financing the partner.
Well, Dr. Kushner, we've talked about doctors A's, B's, and C's. We've covered costs of X, Y, and Z's. We've taken money off the top, off the bottom. We've been sellers. We've been buyers. It feels like we've done it all. Is there anything else? Are there any last things you'd like to share to our listeners, our up-and-coming dental practice owners?
Yes, of course. I said this before, and I'll say it again. We love this concept. We're in a world of different kinds of practice styles these days. This one is held up and will held up and will hold up, and this one will battle the preservation of even solo or small group private practice for the long, long, long foreseeable future, because it checks all the boxes. We're preserving the notion of private practice. I did say, and I'll repeat it, I'm hoping to convince maybe 2/3 of you to pursue this concept further, and it's okay if I convinced 1/3 of you that this is not for you. Thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Kushner. That's all we have for Lean and Mean, at least for now. Thank you so much to our listeners, and thank you so, so much to the one and only Dr. Rick Kushner. And I speak for all of us here when I say we appreciate your time. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And if you have any remaining questions or want more information, reach out to Comfort Dental at comfortdental.biz or visit comfortdental.com. Dr. Kushner and Judy signing out.
Judy, thank you. It's been such a tremendous pleasure working with you and your ultimate professionalism. Thanks again.
Thank you. Pleasure's all mine.